The beginning of today's gospel repeats some of last Sunday's. Jesus, at the beginning of his public life, has delivered what we today would call his mission statement, using words of the prophet Isaiah. And as he speaks, Jesus declares that these words are being fulfilled in him. The Messiah that they have been waiting for is now here in the person of Jesus. His kingdom has begun to be realized in his works of healing, of reconciliation, and liberation from evil powers. At first, the crowd is absolutely amazed at Jesus's eloquence and astonished at his gracious words. How can Jesus, a carpenter and a carpenter's son, speak like this? Maybe, suggests Jesus, they are thinking that he should be doing for his own community in Nazareth some of the mighty works he was doing in other parts of Galilee. But Jesus tells them that a prophet isn't normally accepted in his own place. He then gives two striking examples from the Old Testament, one from Elijah, the other from Elisha. Two prophets closely linked to the coming of the Messiah. Elijah was sent to help a poor widow in Sidon, which is a non-Jewish area, during a famine caused by 3.5 years of drought. Why did the prophet go to her when there were so many Jewish widows in the same plight? Similarly, there were many lepers in Israel, but Elisha was sent to Naaman, a Syrian general, and the Syrians were the hated enemies of Israel. Jesus was being quite provocative with these stories. Why so? The answer comes in Mark's account of this account, and he gives two reasons. Because the people of Nazareth knew Jesus' family so well, they weren't ready to receive him or his message about his own identity and mission. Secondly, Mark comments that Jesus was able to do very little healing in Nazareth because they refused to believe in him. They had no faith. It's clear on many occasions that Jesus' healing power only came to those who had total trust in him. And of course, the response of the people of Nazareth was only a foretaste of the total rejection of Jesus by many of his own people. The crowd, which had been amazed at that one of their fellow villagers could speak with such grace, eloquence, and authority, now begin to react badly. Who did he think he was? After hearing Jesus' words about the rejection of the prophets by their own people, they were worked up into a blind rage and hatred. They wanted to push Jesus off a cliff. But Jesus passed through their midst and left them. He went out of their lives. How terrible. Let's pray that such a thing may never happen to us, that Jesus should walk right through us, that we should fail to recognize his presence among us, or even reject him, so that he goes off without us, leaving us behind. If that happens, it won't be Jesus abandoning us, we will have snubbed him. These are painful words. But even as we embrace Jesus and his gospel, there is no way for us to escape pain. It comes into our lives in two ways. One is the result of our sinfulness, our living in disharmony with truth and love. And a different kind of suffering comes from following the way of truth, of love, of compassion, and of true freedom. Following that way will often bring us into conflict with those who fear God's truth or are threatened by real love. Today's gospel is a perfect example. Like Jesus, the most loving person who ever lived, we may find ourselves rejected, even hated and destroyed, precisely because of our goodness and our integrity. What a paradox. The more loving we are, the more people our love embraces as we get beyond labels and prejudices, the more likely we're going to be rejected, persecuted, hated, even by religious people. This was the experience of the poor prophet Jeremiah in our first reading, and it was something God clearly warned him about. He was called by God to become a prophet to the nations. He was to brace himself for action and stand up to the people, passing on God's message to them. He was not to be alarmed at their presence. God would give him all the necessary strength to carry out his task. But he should have no illusions. Quote, they will fight against you. However, they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you. This is an experience which prophets of the good news have had time and again. On the one hand, their message of truth and love has been rejected, and they have been attacked and abused. But they've also experienced a special kind of strength that allows them to carry on. Think of Martin Luther King and civil rights activists singing, "We Shall Overcome," as they were carted off to jail, washed down with fire hoses, or had savage dogs set upon them. How underneath all their suffering, underneath the pain that comes from it all, there lies an unshakable inner joy and firm peace that only Jesus can give. As the life of Jesus clearly indicates, there's a price to be paid for following the path of love, but it is a price well worth paying. The price of going any other way is simply too high. I now invite our panel.